Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to H10. This is a special edition because I'm flying solo today. My name is T-Ray, and today is January the 26th, 2016. This is episode 18, and we're just a few days away from spring training beginning. So on today's show, we're actually going to talk a little bit about spring training, and as you can hear in the background, some car noises, I'm actually walking as I record this, just the intro. Wizzo has been a little bit sick lately, and he's also in the middle of a move, so I can understand him not being able to do the show with me. As for myself, I've got a couple of pieces of good news that I would love to share with everybody out there. Yesterday was actually my last day of work until the spring. Yes, that's right. Working in a university sometimes has some huge perks, one of them being long amounts of time off of work. And so I put in my last day of work, I submitted my grades, I submitted my syllabi for next year, and now I'm free more or less until April. So what that means is it's going to be a little bit easier to cover baseball for the first little bit of the season, although I will be in Canada for part of the spring training and preseason, but that's besides the point. I'm going to have a lot of free time, and that's nothing but good news as far as H10 goes. So that's the first piece of big news. And the second one is that last week, actually in the mail, I got notice that my application for permanent residency has gone through. So I'm a permanent resident of Japan, meaning I don't have to go in periodically, get my visa renewed, make sure I have a proper sponsor, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I don't have to pay the fees. Don't have to worry about longer lineups when I'm at the airport coming into the country, and so on and so forth. It also means that hopefully I'll be able to take out a loan with the bank if I decide to buy a home, which is a completely different topic that we can save for another day. That's about it for now. We're actually going to, as I said, talk about spring training and the players that are on the roster to head down to Okinawa, who I am going to be on the lookout for when I head down there on February 1st. And so we will talk a little bit about that. And when I say we, I mean I, because there's nobody else here. Anyways, stick around, folks. We will be back in just a little bit. And away we go, folks. So here we are. It's the solo show. No Wizzo, all T-Ray. Hope you enjoy it. We're looking at the Tigers roster for the Okinawa spring training camp. And I've got that before my eyes. If you want to find it, you can check the website www.thehuntingtigers.com, and you'll find it a couple down the list. I will also include the specific link in the show notes at the bottom of the podcast. So, who am I going to have my eyes on when I go down to Okinawa, or who am I hoping to see some good things out of in 2016? We've kind of talked a little bit about expectations in the offseason and resolutions, but now I want to look specifically at camp and who I hope to see shine, or who I hope will make their presence known. So we're going to start with the catching position, because lately I can't say anything more than just, this new catcher that we've drafted, Seishiro Sakamoto, has just really impressed me. And I haven't even seen him batting or even catching, but just the articles that I've read and what I've heard in interviews with him and so on, I just think this guy has got a lot going for him, and I really hope that he can take over as the head catcher eventually. Now, let me just rehash something I've been saying for a while, and that is that it's really hard for a catcher to break in his first season and become the regular, or to catch, you know, a whole bunch of games. And Umeno managed to do fairly well in 2014 in that sense. I think he caught something like 90 games, which is pretty impressive. The reason being that there's just so much for a catcher to know, not only his own teammates and his own pitchers and their tendencies, but also every opponent
every opposing batter's tendencies, and you know, like, they're really watching everything that the batter is doing, even between pitches. If they're changing their stance a little bit, if they're stepping back in the batter's box, that might indicate what kind of pitch they're hoping for, and so on and so forth. Their minds are extremely busy during the game, and I think for a rookie to come in having never faced these batters and having never really caught in game situations for these pitchers, it's tough for them to come in and make a big splash early on. But I hope that Sakamoto can do something very soon. I've got nothing against Umeno, but Kanemoto did mention in an interview recently this past offseason that Umeno seems a little bit more focused on the hitting aspect than the catching aspect. And while that's great, I mean, it's always good to have a hitting catcher. You know, there is definitely something to be said about a catcher who can call a good game. And the reason that Umeno could not get more playing time last year is because he's not able to call a good game for the pitchers. Maybe he hasn't gained his teammates' trust just yet in that respect. So with Sakamoto, here's some of the things that I see that I'm really impressed with. Number one, he seems like a really humble guy, and he seems like the kind of guy that wants to come in and become the catcher for the ages, for the Tigers. He's mentioned that his hero was Akihiro Yano, who's really the last great catcher that the Tigers have had. So since he retired in 2010, we really have not had a steady catcher that has put in a lot of game time and has really taken over as the main catcher. So he's got someone that he looks up to, and Yano is now the battery coach and strategy coach of the team for the upcoming season. So hopefully Sakamoto can work closely with him and they can really, you know, get on the same page, and Yano can impart a whole lot of wisdom to him. And having read Yano's book, which is all about his catching career, I can really see that Yano has got a great grasp on what it means to be a great catcher. Having not watched him myself, I'll just take his word for it in his book that he was an awesome catcher. And, you know, everything I hear from his fans and from longtime Tigers fans is that he was an outstanding catcher. So I hope Sakamoto can take a little bit of that and run with it. Speaking of running, Sakamoto also, during the rookies' little voluntary practice sessions, which are held annually at Naruohama, he actually finished the fastest in the 3,000-meter race or run that he did with his other five fellow draftees. Now, he also surpassed everybody from last year, and I think he even surpassed everyone but one runner from 2 years ago, and that would be Shintaro Yokota, who we'll talk about in a little bit. Now, Sakamoto's a catcher. Catchers are not known for their speed. Catchers are not known for having great running endurance, but, you know, he is outrunning three pitchers and two outfielders, and particularly the outfielders, I think, should have taken a little bit more pride and maybe been able to beat him. But the fact that he had that great of a running time, I forget exactly what it was. I think it was like 11 minutes and a bit, 11 and a half minutes for 3,000 meters, which is ridiculous. Yeah, good for him. That's a good sign right there. Next, I also have read an article in which he said that he came very close to passing level 2 of the English step test, also known as Aiken in Japan. And while that's not the most impressive of records, I mean, if you look at other baseball players, I don't think any of them have come close to that. Never mind the fact that most high school students could not pass level 2. So that's pretty impressive in itself as well. And he's mentioned that because of that, he feels confident enough in his English ability to speak with Randy Messenger, to catch for Randy Messenger, and to not need an interpreter to be there to communicate with them. Also, he mentioned that because we've got a couple of imports coming in from the Dominican Republic, even though he doesn't speak any Spanish, I think the article either said he hopes to pick up some Spanish, or he hopes to be able to communicate with those guys in English as well. But just the fact that he wants to communicate with these guys and he's not backing away and he's not afraid shows something great. And I don't really see that in Umeno. I think Umeno is a little bit more reserved and needs to really be a little bit more aggressive as catcher. As somebody that's going to lead the team, somebody that's going to lead the pitchers, he needs to take more of a leadership role. Sakamoto, by the way, was also captain of the All-Japan team when they played in, I think it's the Under-21 World Championship. He was the captain of the Japan team. And also, he was the captain of his team at Meiji University. And so he's got the leadership skills to do a lot of great stuff. Now, it's interesting that at the camp in Okinawa, Sakamoto, Komiyama, Umeno, and Okazaki are the four catchers. Now, who are Komiyama and Okazaki? Exactly. These are guys that have been with the team for a number of years and have not really made any appearances or very few appearances on the parent club. So I don't know that they necessarily are a threat to Sakamoto or Umeno for playing time in 2016. Now, the other guy that's not on this list is Kazunari Tsuruoka, who was the main catcher last season. He is coming up on, I believe, 39 years old this season. And as much as his veteran presence is appreciated, and I hear that he calls a good game, he also has let a few wild pitches go by that maybe should not have been called wild pitches because he should have really been able to block them. And then also at the plate, he leaves a little bit to be desired. So I would anticipate, though, that in the upcoming year, Sakamoto, Umeno, and Tsuruoka will be the three main catchers on the parent squad. And if they only go with two and they use Imanari as the third catcher, which there's also been talk of, I would guess Sakamoto might start on the farm and really get a lot of playing time down there and get to know the young pitchers that will be coming up, you know, either during 2016 or in the future. So he can kind of get to know them. And so when they get called up to the parent club, he could also be called up and be their main catcher. Anyways, that's my outlook on the catching position. Let's move on now to the infielders. And we've got Toritani, Hojo, Uemoto, Gomez, Nishioka, Ryota Arai, Matt Haig, Imanari, Yokawa, and Araki will be down in Okinawa. Now, of this group, there are a few that were not in Okinawa last spring training. Of course, that would include Matt Haig, but it also includes Yokawa, who hurt himself last spring training and ended up having to spend most of his time in Aki. And also, I think Ryota Arai spent most of his time up in Aki as well last spring. So it'll be interesting, anyways, to see what happens with the infielders. But, of course, Toritani has basically got the shortstop position locked up. So Hojo, who is also a shortstop, is kind of playing, in a sense, to compete for either third base or second base. And also, I think Imanari and Uemoto and Nishioka and Ryota Arai are also going to be fighting for second and third base positions as well. Now, Imanari and Ryota Arai will be fighting only for third base, and Nishioka and Uemoto probably only for second base. And then Araki, well, I think he would hope to try and make some noise and get a bit of playing time at second base, but things are just so clogged up in our infield that I don't really see space for Araki, except perhaps as a pinch runner. Now, the guys I'm excited about, of course I'm excited to see what Matt Haig is going to do. As someone who won the MVP in AAA International League last year, the International League being the tougher of the two to hit home runs and to get some, you know, gaudy hitting numbers, he managed to bat, I think it was .311 with 11 home runs and 92 RBIs. And I look forward to seeing him do roughly the same with the Hanshin Tigers this year. I would love to see him bat over 300 with about a dozen home runs and maybe 90 RBIs, but that'll depend on if he gets, you know, full playing time. It'll depend on if he gets used to Japanese pitching early on or not. The one thing that concerns me is that I read an article saying that one of the fielding coaches is worried that Haig's fielding skills at third base are not very good and that they may have to shift him to the outfield. Now, of course, we're not going to know anything about that until we get down to Okinawa and see how he does, but I really hope that he wins third base in a sense. You know, we also have Imanari and Arai at third base. So there are enough guys there. There are enough guys in the outfield, however, as well. So it'll be interesting to see where Haig ends up playing and if he gets full playing time or not. You know, for the most part, when they bring in imports, they don't bring them in just to sit on the bench or even to spend time on the farm. Particularly since the Tigers already have six imports. I can't imagine them sending Haig down to the farm with his $800,000 contract. But that remains to be seen. Let's move forward to the outfield. And we're looking at Yamato, Fukudome, Yokota, Egoshi, Ito, Nakatani, and Ogata. Those are the guys from the outfield that'll be down in Okinawa. Now, Fukudome is pretty much guaranteed right field, and he'll try to play as many games as he can, he says. He wants to play all 143 games. He wants to win the batting title. You know, it's always lofty goals when spring rolls around. All these players try to, set high standards for themselves, which is great. I just hope that they can reach them or come close. I hope that it doesn't turn into a laughingstock or a joke come the end of the season. Now, speaking of lofty goals, our friend Mr. Yamato, I know a lot of people out there love him, and you know, I think he's got an outstanding glove and he's got great instincts in the field, but this is a guy that says he hopes to win, or he hopes to achieve a triple three, his own brand of it. Now, just for those of you who are not aware of what the triple three is, it's basically when a player bats 300, hits 30 home runs, and steals 30 bases in the same season. And Yamato is hoping to do that, except instead of 30 home runs, he's saying 3 home runs. So it's still a triple three in a sense, right? Just instead of 30, it would be 3. Now, this is a guy that has one career home run in 10 seasons. So I think even 3 home runs is a little bit far-fetched for him. This is also a guy that, if I'm not mistaken, he has never hit 300. And he has never come close to 30 stolen bases. So I really think that his is the loftiest of lofty goals. I've got his numbers now right in front of me. His one career home run came in 2014. His best stolen base year was 2013 when he stole 19. That was with 384 at-bats. So he played just shy of a full season. He missed about 40 games. But in those 40 games, I don't think he would have stolen 11 more bases, not at that pace. And then his career best batting average was also in 2013 and 2010 when he hit 273. I really don't see him hitting 300. And I kind of wonder if he's even going to get enough playing time to qualify for the batting title. Enough playing time to steal 30 bases or even attempt 30 bases. Now let's keep in mind, last season he stole 5. And he was caught stealing 7 times. So his instincts need a little bit of work. I can't imagine him going from 5 stolen bases one year to 30 the next. But I wish him all the best. And, you know, like if he is, if he is good enough in spring training, he may get a regular spot either in center field or at second base. And he may get a chance to reach double digits in steals. He may get a chance to hit one more home run. And he may get a chance to bat near 300. But I think that his expectations for himself are a little bit high. Now, the guy that I'm really excited about, and I mentioned this on the website as well, is Shintaro Yokota. And if you look at the second to most recent update on the front page, you'll see that I've got an entry called 2 to Watch in 2016. And I talk about Shintaro Yokota and Naomasa Yokawa. These are two guys that played down in the Winter League in Taiwan this past December. And they both had really good numbers. And you can see that on the website. You can check it out. And I also put up a video highlight of each of their home runs. Or they each hit 2 home runs down there. And I've got a video highlight of one from each of them. Actually, when I first checked them out on YouTube, I found a video of all of their hits during that Winter League. And it was actually pretty fun to watch. And the thing that really stood out to me was Yokota did not hit a ton of long balls. I mean, he had a lot of hits. He batted 304. He had 11 RBI. But the thing that really impressed me was that he legged out 3 infield singles. And that's pretty impressive. He's a left-handed batter, so he's got a little bit of an advantage over the right-handed batters. But, you know, I have heard that he's got a decent amount of speed. So if he does make the big squad, if he does get playing time, I mean, this is a guy that maybe not in 2016, but maybe 2018 or something, he might be a threat to hit a legitimate triple three. He may hit 300 with 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. It would take a lot, but, you know, it'd be really nice to see one of the Hanshin Tigers players be able to do that. That would be exciting. Now, Yokawa, whom I didn't really talk about, he's an infielder. He's also got a great amount of power, and his home run, if you check the highlight, is way deeper than Yokota's. But they both have really good power, so it's going to be fun to watch both of those guys in the spring, and I really hope that they make a big impression on Kanemoto and the rest of the staff while they're down there. Now, the other outfielders, you know, we've got Egoshi, who got a decent amount of playing time last season for a rookie, And of course, we all have great expectations for him. And, you know, I hope that he gets a lot more playing time this year, and I hope that his game can grow. But it's not guaranteed. You know, we saw a lot of promise last year, but sometimes we see regression in players in their second year. But I hope that he can take some advice from Kanemoto as well as the new hitting coach and other guys around him. And I hope that he can build on what he did last year. So I'd love to see him starting in the outfield as well. And that doesn't leave a lot of room for guys like Yamato or Nakatani, who's another up-and-coming kind of mid-range power hitter. You know, he's another guy that's got decent power and decent speed, but he's not like extremely gifted at either. And he played a little bit on the parent club last season, and he also led the Western League in batting average, I believe, or at one point he was leading it. I don't know if he ended up on top or not. And then we've got guys like Ogata, who, you know, he's a really tiny guy, but apparently he's got some good pop and he's got some good speed. And also Hayata Ito, he's a guy that many people laugh at for his terrible defense, and he sometimes looks a little bit lost at the plate. But he's also a guy that at least Kakefu is really excited about, or was 2 years ago when he wrote his book called Hey Young Tigers. And I think that Ito... Did I just mention that he got married in the off season? I don't remember. Anyways, congratulations, Ito. I really hope that your married life is a fruitful one. And I really hope that, you know, that lights a fire under you. And I would love to see Ito make a splash and make a run for one of the starting positions, even if he's not great on defense. Let's see what happens. You know, he could end up being what he was hyped up to be when he was drafted in the first round several years ago. Now, one key guy that is not here on the Okinawa roster is first round draft pick Shun Takayama. He got injured actually, I think, the day before the draft. And it wasn't an injury that would threaten his future or anything. It was, I think it was something to do with his arm. It might have been like a broken bone or something like that, but it's not something that's going to have long-term impact. Anyways, he's still recovering from that, so I think they're going to start him slow. They're going to start him in Aki, but Kanemoto has said there will be some switches from the camp up there and the camp down in Okinawa. So he may end up being called down to Okinawa at some point during the course of the month that the team is down there training. So I would look forward to Takayama, Yokota, Egoshi, Ito, and the rest. I mean, I really see our outfield as potentially being the strength of this team and the pillar of this team in the future. You know, like I can imagine an outfield of Yokota, Egoshi, and Takayama for like a decade. I mean, these guys are all 22 and under right now. So if they get their acts together and they end up being the starting members of the outfield, I mean, they could play there for 10 years and nobody could possibly, you know, take that position away from them. So it'll be fun to see what happens there. All right, let's look at the pitchers. And there are a lot of pitchers, so I'm not going to mention all of them in one breath. I'm going to start with the guys that are expected to be either starting pitchers or they are going to vie for one of those starting positions. So we've got Atsushi Nomi, Yuta Iwasada, Kyuji Fujikawa, Shintaro Fujinami, Minoru Iwata, Takumi Akiyama, Randy Messenger, Suguru Iwazaki. I think that's it as far as the guys that are vying for the starting positions. And then there's a bunch of guys that... they'll start in Aki, but of course they're hoping to get there as well, including last year's first round draft pick, Yuya Yokoyama. And we'll see how he does as well. Now, out of these guys, of course, you know, five of them were regular starters last year. Those being Fujinami, Messenger, Iwata, Nomi, and Iwazaki. So in theory, there's only one starting position up for grabs, but you never know. There could be more than one. Now, Fujikawa was expected to be a starter this coming season. Last year when he played down in Kochi, in his hometown, in the minors, or an independent league for a little while, he was a starter. He did fairly well. He pitched a couple of complete games. His ERA was 0.83. Granted, this is going against guys that, you know, aren't good enough to be in NPB, let alone MLB, where Fujikawa, you know, tried to succeed for 3 years. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see if Fujikawa can become a starter. From what I hear, he does have a number of different pitches, and it'll be fun to see if he can make the transition from closer to starter, at least, you know, in the eyes of us fans. I think all of us remember him as a closer and a really good one. But we've got Mateo and we've got Dolis who are going to be fighting for the closer position. And then also Fukuhara is going to be the setup guy. But then also we've got Takahashi in there. We've got Takami in there. We've got Ando who's starting up at Aki. And then we've also got Sayuchi who would love to become the setup guy as well. Matsuda is another guy that's still really young and is hoping to get into that setup role as well, or possibly the closer role in the long run. So as far as the other guys vying for starting positions, you know, Akiyama had a great, I think it was 2010. And then since then, he kind of fell off the map. It'd be nice to see him come around again, but you just never know. And then Yuta Iwasada was our first round pick, I believe, in 2013. And it would be cool to see him really get things together. Now, in Taiwan, in the Winter League, he was there with Yokota and Yokawa. He actually won the MVP, and his ERA was under 1. I think it was either 0.49 or something like that. Anyways, he just had an incredible session down there. And so it'll be fun to see how that translates into NPB. So you never know. He could become the sixth starter. And I don't think I mentioned Enokida. Enokida is another guy that he has tried to become starter, and he did do a bit of time in the bullpen. And he had, I think, a good time with the team in 2011 or 2012, one of the two. And then he kind of fell apart as well. Injuries and other things kind of slowed him down. It would be fun to see him kind of rebound as well. You know, it's really interesting. There's so many guys on this team that have had good spurts and bad stretches, and it's easy to write these guys off or say that they're washed up or to say like, forget him or whatever. But you know, this offseason I've really been reflecting, and I really have started to like all the Hanshin Tigers players. Well, almost all. I won't mention the ones I don't like, but there are a few that I really just don't care for. Anyways, for the most part, I just want to cheer for them because these are real human beings, and these are guys that are fighting for their professional lives. They want to excel at what they do. They want to, you know, they want to earn more money. They want to have a better living. They want to have great memories of their careers as baseball players. They want to support their families. And, you know, just as I think about stuff like that, it's really hard to go against these guys and to say, you know what, I really don't want to see him in the starting roster. I hope he doesn't make it. I hope this guy makes it instead. So even though, you know, I cheer for guys like catcher Sakamoto over guys like Okazaki, who has had, you know, very little playing time on the parent squad, I still want to cheer for guys like Okazaki because he does have a family, and he does have pride, and he does have hopes and dreams for himself as well. And it would be really sad to see him end his career without really having had a chance to excel at the top level. So as I look at this roster, bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just cheering for these guys to do their best, to come out to camp, work their butts off, and really make it a hard decision for guys like Kanemoto and the rest of the coaching staff to decide who's going to be on the parent squad and who's going to be on the farm at the start of the season. So, on that note, even though it's been a bit of a short episode, we're going to wrap things up right here. There really wasn't a lot of news this week as far as the team goes, so there's not a whole lot else to report on, and you know, with Wizzo not here to bounce ideas off of, and, you know, I can't really hear his opinion on some of these players, it just makes for a shorter show. It makes for a bit of a lonelier show, but thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. I hope to be back next week, and actually next week at this time, I will be down in Okinawa. So I'll be reporting right there from the field, perhaps. We might even do a podcast while I'm watching practices and stuff like that. Should be fun times. So once again, if you want to contact us for any reason, the email is podcast@thehanshintigers.com. You can also touch base with us on Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News. You can find me on Twitter @thehanshintiger, no spaces. You can catch Wizzo @Wizzo, WHIZOH. I'm going to say that Canadian style because he's not here. And that's about it. I mean, you know, I'm just glad to be part of this Hanshin Tigers fan family, and I look forward to more in 2016 with all of you. Hopefully as the season comes around, you know, the listenership will increase, the amount of comments will increase, the amount of chatter around the team will increase, and you know, with the fantasy league that I have planned, as well as kind of a competition between me and Wizzo, kind of a prediction competition, going on. Hopefully that kind of rivalry and that kind of competition will make things a little bit more exciting as well. So thanks for tuning in this time, everybody. We'll catch you in about a week's time. This has been H10. See ya.